Diana, God bless you. It's so great to have you back on again.
Well, hello, John. It's wonderful to be back. Thank you for inviting me.
Oh, it's a blessing. And, you know, and I ran over like nine minutes or whatever. So I'm going to be like ultra super quiet, grab a folding chair, you know, virtual folding chair, and just turn the mic over to you, because I know this message is very important for the believers, especially those that have gone through periods of discouragement and such like that. So again, the mic is yours. Yeah. God bless you. May the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit wash over you in peace and revelation. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. And yes, I just want to pray over a couple of things as well. First, before we get started, Father God, we want to thank you and give you praise in all things, Lord. You are the mighty and faithful one, our refuge and fortress, Lord. Father, I do pray that you help me get out of the way and that I would yield to your Holy Spirit. And I pray that that you will open my mouth to faithfully share with your people the things you're showing and speaking in this hour. And I also pray, Lord, for open ears, that the Holy Spirit minister to each individual how this message may apply to them. In Jesus' name, amen. And excuse me, John, as I've prayed about what God, you know, wanted me to share tonight, I kept asking, Lord, what is it that you are saying to your people? What do you want us to know and understand in this hour? So he had me review what I've, you know, personally been shown within the last few months. And I have to say, pretty much everything the Lord's been emphasizing to me has to do with entering into intimacy with him. And so I'll be speaking about God's call to enter into that secret place, you know, to seek a level of intimacy with him that's absolutely key to everything. And then in the same vein, I want to share what was revealed about the plan of the devil to prevent not only intimacy with God, but everyone else in your life. And this was a bombshell to me, totally hidden. And I'll talk about that in a little later, but God willing, when I get to the close, or at least close to the end, I'll have a little time to give a brief overview or summary of what I'm going to talk about. But let me see here. I've got a kind of an outline, but let me first touch on the urgency of the time we're in right now. Many of us are at a point where it seems we're barely holding on. That's the impression I'm getting as I correspond and pray with God's people. And I'm sure John and others can say the same thing. But, and the Lord has a lot to say about it, as it's not his will for us to barely be holding on. And this message is especially for those going through those extremely difficult times right now. And I know I am. I really can't think of anyone that's just, you know, skating along, you know, in ease right now. But God wants to encourage us and give specific instructions on how to maneuver the waters, if you want to call it that. So let me get started. And I just want to say here, as I go through some recent dreams and visions the Lord's given, you'll notice that sense of urgency I mentioned a minute ago. And as in the first one I'm going to share, and for accuracy, not to leave anything out, at times I'm just going to read portions of the various posts from the website, and I'll try to mention the titles also when I'm doing that. Excuse me. In case somebody wants to read them later in their entirety. The first I want to share, though, is called Heads Up. And the Lord spoke the following to me in the early morning hours of July 17th this year. And he said, heads up, heads up, heads up. And as I've warned you, all hell is coming against you. It is even now at the door. The enemy has surrounded the camps of my people. But fear not, they that are with you are more than be with them. Nothing can stop you until my purposes are fulfilled. Now, that's the end of what was said, but by the time heads up was spoken the second time, I grabbed, you know, something quickly to write down what I was hearing. And I was then reminded of the previous week. And at this particular time, I'd continually been awakened while praying for the lost. And I was praying for the lost in and outside the church. And I knew this was of the Spirit of God because the praying was what kept waking me up, the praying itself. And each time I'd hear myself groaning in the Spirit, as well as prayers of repentance and intercession coming out of my mouth. Then I'd fall asleep again. And that was repeated all through the night. And saints, what the Lord imparted to me was a sense of urgency because the world as we know it is about to change. And as, you know, I'm speaking to the choir here, but the signs Jesus gave to signal his return are unfolding all around us. And as it's written, the Lord does nothing unless he reveals a secret to the servants, the prophets, his servants, the prophets. And that's in Amos 3:7. So he is warning. We hear this, you know, his prophets warning of these impending judgments. They're being sounded throughout the earth. And what we're seeing right now is the Lord lifts his hand off America and around the world in his great mercy. He's giving this world a good shaking. And we haven't seen anything yet, right, to awaken as many as are willing. And believe me, the things I've seen and others are seeing, it, we haven't seen anything yet. And not one, he told me this before too, not one will escape this shaking. For it will reveal and remove what is shakable so that which cannot be shaken may remain. Of course, that's in Hebrews 12. Verse 26 and 27. But as I prayed throughout that night, the Lord kept showing me, and this is what was causing a lot of the groaning, is that many who say they are his will not remain when the ground begins to shake beneath them. Most haven't responded to his call to come to the garden, okay, to come to the secret place of the Most High. And I want to insert here, if any of you, I'm sure a lot of you didn't hear the message, maybe when I was on Tribulation Now back, I think it was in January, but I highly encourage you to listen to Come to the Garden if you haven't already, or at least read it on the website, on my website, because this is when God began speaking to me in a big way about what intimacy entails as far as when the bride enters that secret chamber with the bridegroom. And of course, I don't have time to cover that again here tonight, but most have not responded to the wooing. And it has been for years a wooing, but now I'm hearing an urgent call to come to the garden. And instead of spending time to become intimate with the one we claim to love, most are busy watching the gathering storm. And now we know where to watch world events, you know, that we're not to be caught unaware and such, but it does grieve the Lord to watch his people become prophecy chasers. And that is the word the Lord gave me. His people are becoming prophecy chasers as they put their confidence in others to essentially spoon feed them, you know, instead of spending time with him to hear God for themselves. So that was something huge. But brethren, it's not enough to know what's coming, because if your eyes are fastened upon the approaching storm, it'll have a paralyzing, hypnotic effect, just like it does in your own life. When you have that storm come upon you, sometime you are paralyzed. I know I have been, feeling like I'm at the bottom of a pit. But as the wind increases and the waves get higher, fear usually will take hold. And just as what happened to Peter, you know, you too will sink. So, saints, the storm we see forming and gathering strength is not just out there in the world, but as the Lord said, the enemy has surrounded the camps of my people. This is the pressure that you and I are experiencing. We're feeling this in the spirit, and we're seeing the physical manifestations of it. And the Lord showed me when the enemy surrounds our house, they aren't just standing around watching, but are actively firing arrows into our midst. And we can all attest to this, that it's increasing and the pressure, we feel it constantly. So God's giving a heads up to the church as the hour is very late. And those who heed his call by entering into the secret place with him will be those who fear not as they're surrounded by the enemy. And I'll give an example of that in just a bit. But God's calling upon his people to take immediate action. Proverbs 22:3 says, a prudent man sees evil coming and hides himself. This is huge. We're supposed to see evil coming, which we do. I believe most of us do. Those listening here, they do see it coming. But the key is hides himself. And a question I think we should all ask ourselves is, when the devil surrounds my house, what will he find? Will he be able to gain entrance? Wow. God asked me a question back in January of this year that's now, I feel led to pass this on because he's asking it of each one of you. I just gotten up one morning when the Lord asked me, quote, he asked, can you say he has nothing in me? Can you say he has nothing in me? And I was taken aback and shaken by this question that morning, because I felt, and it scared me, that my answer would have to be, no, I couldn't say that. And he then began to show me how this applies to the entire body of Christ. And in John 14:30, Jesus said, I will not speak with you much longer, for the prince of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. And a lot was revealed in this statement. He let them know he wouldn't be speaking with them much longer because a powerful adversary was coming against him, the prince of this world. And, of course, we know that's the devil himself. And keep in mind, just before Jesus' ministry began, he went on a 40-day fast, after which the devil came to tempt him. But the devil could find nothing in Jesus to use against him. So, excuse me, the point is Jesus was not ruled by, nor did he operate in the flesh. Absolutely nothing in this world could move Jesus. And the Lord showed me to be united with her bridegroom, to do what she's being called to do, the bride must also be able to say, he has nothing in me. Now, that sent me kind of into a tizzy for a while, but because the church as a whole has disregarded his warnings and refused to follow his example, she's become immersed in and infiltrated by this world. She now finds herself bound with the same chains of addiction, afflictions, you know, yokes of bondage as the world around her. this is, you know, this is why when the earth begins to shake beneath our feet, many who say they're his will not remain. These things will, the devil's got plenty in us. I'm going to say more about these chains of bondage and afflictions in a moment. Something I was just shown recently that I believe will shock a lot of you because it did me. But praise be to God, this is not his will for his people. When he asked me if, like Jesus, I could say he has nothing in me, and I realized I couldn't, I began to cry out to God for mercy and help. And this went on for weeks. I was staggered by that question until the night of being continually awakened by prayers of repentance and intercession, as I discussed a minute ago, until that night. And the good news is the Holy Spirit is directing his remnant, many of you listening now, to pray these types of prayers, you know, to groan in travail, in repentance and intercession, not only for yourselves, but others. And God has heard these cries. He's not only revealing to his people what's directly ahead, but giving specific instructions on how to prepare our hearts. So he's telling us it's time to press in as never before. The prince of this world is coming, and this time for the set apart ones, those in preparation, those to become the bride of Christ. And the bride's struggle will not be against the lower ranked devils, but against the princes and rulers of the darkness, Ephesians 6:12. Now, what I'm going to share next is what the Lord shown to be a lost and forgotten tool of the church. Okay, not only the church in the wilderness, but the early New Testament church. And it's a tool that's always used when the enemy begins to press in. This is not an easy word. I'm going to say this up front. It was not for me an easy word for my flesh, and it's just not. But it's something each of you will need to take before God in prayer. In early April of this year, the Holy Spirit began reminding me of something I was told back in 2017 when he had said, quote, "Your primary job will be to seek me in prayer and fastings." I was then reminded that not only had Jesus completed a prolonged fast before the devil came to tempt him, but he specifically told us in Matthew 17:21, the stronger devils cannot be cast out except through prayer and fasting. And, excuse me, it was after this period that he went forth delivering the captives, casting out devils, healing the sick, you know, destroying the works of the devil. It was after that period. And, saints, the scenario is to be played out again with the body of Christ. God said the enemy has surrounded the camps of his people. And you and I can attest that arrows are already being fired at us. And what will be our response to this? Jesus made it very clear our normal everyday methods will not prevail against Satan's princes and rulers. He not only gave specific instructions, but was our perfect example of how to stand against the devil. And as stated in Isaiah 58, God says fasting is to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo heavy burdens, free the oppressed, and to break every yoke of bondage. We're either ruled by our flesh or by our spirit. And the word says when we, our flesh, are weak, then we, our spirit, are strong. And fasting is a tool to be used to weaken your flesh and get it out of the way, allowing the spirit to reign and have dominion. But before continuing, I want to share an excerpt from a word recently given by the Lord to a very prophetic friend of mine about the power of fasting. He sent this to me out of the blue one morning, just as God was speaking to me about the same topic. And this is, this is on the website titled Fast and Pray. I'm just going to read this exactly the way he sent it. There is a glorious land full of freedom, peace, and joy. A place where the bride of Christ can experience victory, glory, and dominion. This is her highest secret, her resting place. If only we knew what lies just a level beyond. If we understood how weak the enemy becomes when we press in a little longer, a little further. It's at this level we see into the spiritual realm. Clearly seen are the wiles of the devil, his secret plots on full display. The devil and his evil spirits are nothing here. They're like mice caught in a cage, unable to hide. Ah, but the devil knows the limits of the flesh of man and understands the boundaries of the human body. His most powerful weapons are buried along these lines. We all have a level we get to before we abruptly withdraw. This level is just past our comfort zone, where though we begin to burn hot in the spirit, we never allow the fire take us that one degree higher, where we as water begin to boil and burn brightly for the Lord. We surrender and give up just before reaching this level. The body is expert in forming an alliance with the devil. The human body prefers ailments, sores, laxity, excuses, shortcuts, and every pain imaginable over allowing itself to be humbled. Our flesh can be used against us by the devil as a formidable enemy. Truth be said, the flesh cannot give us the freedom to fast. The fear of dying costs us more than we can possibly imagine. As we refuse to allow the cross to bruise and wound us, we revert to the cheap warmth and pleasures of the flesh. By this, we have been robbed of our most reliable source of energy and strength. Oh God, help us press to levels beyond our physical strength, to swim through the horrible flaming fires. May we see the grandeur and possibilities that lie just a step further in prayer and fasting. The Spirit is calling the church to die to earthly inclinations and human desires. She's being called to swim into deep waters, the place where victory awaits. This is the power of the Spirit, the power every believer must have. This is the resurrection to be experienced before the Lord comes, where impartation and strength flow. Now, that's the end of that word that he sent me. But as the word says, it's when we become weak, our flesh becomes weak, that our spirit becomes strong in 2 Corinthians 12:10. That's why throughout the Bible, whenever a need arises from personal to national, a fast was called. Moses fasted 40 days upon the mountain before receiving the commandments and revelation from God. And I hadn't thought about this before, but he fasted another 40 days when he went up the second time. Of course, that time he was beseeching God on his face, you know, to spare the Israelites, but another 40 days. But David said his knees were weak with fastings, his body lean and gaunt in Psalm 109:24. And national emergencies were met with prayer and fasting as the people humbled themselves before the Lord to seek his provision and deliverance. Queen Esther called upon all the Jews in her province to fast with her for 3 days after the enemy's plan to destroy God's people was revealed. And look how God delivered them. Do we think the plan of the enemy has been canceled? It has not. We're at the precipice, the end of the end. The time is now. The press in is never before. The word has gone out. All hell is coming against you, especially those pressing in, seeking God. It's coming against those that are seeking that intimacy with God like none other group. But the prince of this world is coming again. this time against the set apart ones, the Bride of Christ. He's gathering troops from all over creation for the ultimate showdown. These troops are being assembled around your family, your city, your nation, in what should be the response of God's people right now. Let the words of Esther again cry out, fast and pray. Now, I know this is very sobering to think about, but what the Lord showed me, I believe, is meant to demonstrate how extra prayer and fasting, just pressing into Him, position us to withstand the onslaught, you know, whatever it is, allowing God to turn the tables, you know, on the head of the enemy, so to speak. But the following month, after He was speaking to me about prayer, fasting, you know, pressing in, actually, it was the morning of May 1st of this year. I'm going to take a drink of water here real quick, just a second. So it was May 1st. The following word was given, and it's fairly short, and I want to read a good portion of it straight from the post because it's very powerful. And I know many are going through some similar situations right now, so I felt led to include this. But that morning, I felt intense, overwhelming pressure building in the spirit. And it was a struggle to keep my eyes focused on the Lord that morning. But I knew the Holy Spirit wanted me to still myself. So I sat down and I began taking slow, deep breaths as happenings of the previous couple of weeks began swirling and pressing in around me. And deep pain and agony welled up within my heart and tears. I mean, I was in tears. And then suddenly, the intense pressure took on the form of a dark cloud, which I could see surrounding me in the spirit. And the cloud grew, and just as the pressure seemed more than I could bear, the words to a beautiful song came up in my spirit, and I slowly at first especially began singing, I love you, Lord. You know, I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice. You've heard that one. But I raised my hands to God and began to worship Him with all my heart. And as I worshiped Him in song, I was vaguely aware that that dark cloud surrounding me had turned into flames of fire. And the flames began to grow taller and coming closer. But as I continued singing, the joy and peace of God filled every fiber of my being, and my spirit began to soar. I didn't even care about the flames of fire coming in. And I closed my eyes, and I knew the flames had reached me as I felt a comforting warmth spread throughout my body. And just then I heard the Lord say, "Let the fire consume you." As my flesh was consumed, my spirit was released, rising high above the flames. And that was the end of that vision. But, and on the website, it's under Let the Fire Consume You, if you want to read that in the entirety. But I was going through a particularly agonizing situation when this vision was given. The Lord's shown that the entire body of Christ is experiencing the same thing, extreme pressure coming from all directions. And brethren, God's saying that the pressure most are feeling will soon increase to a level we've never experienced. This is what's ahead for the body of Christ. And first, we're not to be ignorant of the devil's devices. 2 Corinthians 2:11. There's a particular pressure or weapon which was used against Jesus that will also be used against His people, and it was being used against me this particular time. But the Lord's sounding an alarm to the body of Christ, alerting us to the spirit of slander. And in the dictionary, slander, it's to make false and damaging statements about someone, to defame, tell lies about, speak ill of, libel, smear, tarnish, taint, misrepresent, and it goes on and on. The kingdom of darkness is expert in the use of this deadly weapon. And because of its multi-pronged effect, slander has the ability to impact every area of your life, and it will set fire to your reputation, your finances, even your very health. And it surrounds, like I saw it surrounds in a 360-degree circle and begins pressing in. And James 3:6 says, the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity, and sets on fire the course of nature, which, of course, we know that's our life. And your enemy knows the first response of the flesh is to protect itself. His plan is for this self-protect mode to kick in when slander comes against you, that you'll begin running around, you know, doing damage control to extinguish the fire, you know, thinking you can, outrun the enemy, you know, counter those lies, save your reputation, save your family, save your relationships, et cetera. But if this is your response, you'll find yourself cut out. It's just completely out from under the protective covering of God. You'll be fighting in your own strength. You'll be right where the devil wants you, in his territory. God wants his people to understand that division is taking place. The dividing line is being drawn. We are to be encouraged and not lose heart, for the fire the enemy unleashes upon us for harm, God will use it for our good if we allow it. Genesis 50:20. And the division will be painful, but it's necessary. It's necessary. And it was very necessary for me personally. There's a lot of you out there that can say the same thing of what you've been experiencing. But the fire unleashed by these untamed tongues will serve to manifest the condition of individuals, families, the churches, countries. I mean, look at all the lies. And all, we can't even hardly, except by the Spirit of God, know what's true being, spread around. John was talking about some of that stuff earlier, but it will have a purifying effect, separating those of the flesh from those of the Spirit. And Jesus forewarned us of these times in Matthew 10:36, saying that even those of our own household would come against us. But he also gave instructions along with his perfect example here again of how we're to handle the lies of the enemy. Jesus never sought to save his own life, and he said those who do would lose it in Luke 17:33. He wasn't concerned about his reputation or what anyone thought, Philippians 2:7. And when they spewed lies about him at his trial, he didn't even open his mouth. And throughout the word, God says he is our defender. There's a time, of course, we know, to speak and a time to be silent. Jesus said he only said what he heard his father say and did what he saw his father do. So as God said, the enemy has surrounded the camps of my people. I believe this was a perfect example of it. And he let me see it as a fire encircling me. And he wants us to be aware the main weapon will be lies against us, just as it was with Jesus throughout his ministry. And let me tell you, if you've not experienced it, it's one of the most painful things to endure, especially when coming from someone within your family or trusted circle, you know, right? I know the division has already begun in many of your lives as well. But we must follow the example of our Lord. The Holy Spirit will show us when to speak, what to say, or as I was shown in this particular situation, he will have us remain silent and let the fire consume you. So just take that to God in prayer if you're going through something like that. But I need to mention, although slanders, the all-time main weapon used against the body of Christ, you know, that's in general. There's something else Satan uses, which is more on an individual and intimate, more intimate in nature. And I'll talk about that now. And this is on the website under the devil's hiding place. And I'm going to share something very personal because the Lord's shown it greatly affects the entire body of Christ. And when I posted this, I asked everyone to pray before reading it. So I want to do that now for us. Father, we ask the Holy Spirit be with each one listening now. May light be shed on how this relates personally to each one of us as I share this experience and what you've shown about it. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. As mentioned earlier, intimacy with God, becoming one with Him, is key to everything. And many are asking, I hear this all the time, how can I experience greater intimacy with God? I want a close and personal relationship with Him, but I don't know what to do. I've studied, I've prayed, but it seems He doesn't hear my prayers, and I feel so lonely. And thanks, this is, like I said, what I do here all the time, and I know you do too, and we've all felt this way before at times. Several years ago, God woke me up in the middle of the night and told me to set up in bed. And after a while, he asked me, what do you want? And I was stunned and didn't even know what to say. And he had to ask me three times before I finally was able to get out of my mouth. This is what I said. I just want to know you and be known by you. And recently, God led me through a series of events to show the significance of what was asked that night, what He had asked me. And a few weeks ago, I was praying over the phone with a friend who oftentimes receives words of knowledge and understanding as she prays in the Spirit. And she began telling me what she had received while praying for me. She said, Diana, I saw you dressed in a beautiful white garment, but notice that where your heart was, there was a small black dot in the middle of it. And she said, as I see this black dot, I'm also getting the words fear and intimacy. Diana, could it be you're afraid of intimacy? I mean, at first, I was shocked that my friend was basically telling me my heart was flawed, right, containing some kind of dark spot. But the Holy Spirit immediately bore witness that it was true. And the words fear and intimacy then pointed me in the direction of my past, you know, where various traumas from childhood into my adult life had caused a lot of pain and sorrow. So both of us agreed, you know, we talked about it and we agreed how these things could cause one to have a fear of intimacy. So I prayed, asking the Lord to show me whatever else I needed to understand about the matter, you know, and I was thinking, you know, and I even said this, well, everyone has hurt and pain from the past. You know, God knows all this. And I have faith he heals us of these things. And then I kind of filed it away and went on. And about a week later, I was praying with another friend who operates in various gifts of the Spirit. And we were, at that time, we were standing in the gap, interceding for saints who had asked for prayer. And on this particular occasion, I was led high into the sky, you know, in the Spirit, where I was flying over the surface of the earth. And I watched from a bird's eye view as the Lord sent light. I just saw light going forth, and I knew that peace and encouragement with that light was being sent to his people. So that's what I had experienced. But after praying, my friend asked, "Where did you go?" And then explained how at a particular point during the prayer that I'd stopped or held back, as he called it, and that the Holy Spirit wanted to do more, but that's as far as I could go. And a couple of days later, the same individual said God had showed it to be something in my heart holding me back. Now, this was the second time in 2 weeks I'd been told by trusted spirit-filled individuals that something in my heart was hindering and holding me back in some way. And I truly didn't know what to think at that point. And I went over what I had just been told a week before, and I was so moved, I began to cry, you know, getting teary. And right there while on the phone, I began repenting to God for holding back anything from him. And I asked to be shown what it was. And suddenly I heard my friend ask, "Diana, what do you want?" And I said, "Oh my, that's the same question God asked me a few years ago. And my answer is still the same. I only want to know him and to be known by him." My friend said, stop, wait a minute. Don't answer this question from your head. Go to the depths of your being, your heart, your soul for the answer." So, okay, I got really quiet, and then it was as if a candle lit up inside of me, exposing the contents of my heart, my true desire. And the following words began to pour forth. This is what I said: "My entire life, my greatest desire has been for someone to care enough about me that they would want to get to know me, to really know me. And they would open up and allow me to really know them." And I'm telling you, as soon as the words came out of my mouth, the Holy Spirit said to me, "This is also God's desire." Whoa. Then I saw it. I saw it. The black dot was a blockage in my heart, only allowing God so far. And from what was already revealed, I knew it contained pain and trauma. But what was puzzling is, how could all this be in my heart at all? You know, because after all these years, hadn't I already given these things to God? What the Lord showed me next completely shocked me. I saw in the spirit what started out, I saw this black dot, this blocking or thing, but I saw it as a black dot, and then it, like, everything zoomed in on it, and I saw it actually was a dark castle-like structure, and I knew instantly it was something built by Satan. This is what God communicated to me about this place. He showed me that to have intimacy with God requires we enter into the secret place to commune with him. This place is the inner chamber, a bridal chamber, which is represented in the physical temple as the Holy of Holies, you know, in the Old Testament. And you can see, come to the garden, and that goes into that more. But so this inner chamber, this bridal chamber, was represented in the physical temple as the Holy of Holies. And as we know, Satan counterfeits the things of God. And the Lord has shown he also has a secret chamber. From the time you and I were born, the devil's worked to construct a secret place in your heart. And it's a well-hidden fortress with impenetrable walls, the devil's hiding place, and from which he seeks to commune with you from this place. And in there, in this place, dwell all your secrets, your trauma, pain, guilt, shame, etc. Even though we may not be conscious of it, like I wasn't, it acts as a barrier to the intimacy with God we so desperately desire, as well as blocking intimacy with other humans. Hence my, I said, I've always wanted to have somebody care enough about me and want to really get to know me, and it would allow me to know them. It blocks that as well. So after this revelation, I cried out to God, asking what I was to do. And I received that I needed to spend a lot of time before him in prayer and asking to be shown this place. And I began that night, but especially that following day, and I'm always asking now. I was shown that we're to be asking the Lord to show us this place and to allow the Holy Spirit shine light into it, that the hidden things found there be brought out and laid bare before him. And just so you'll know how this hiding place of the devil affects us, real quickly, I want to just give you a personal example so you can see, you know, how something like trauma or this or that or the other can be used. About 7 or 8 years ago, an individual came to my house to purchase a vehicle, you know, that I had listed for sale. And he turned out to be a brother of a neighborhood friend of mine that I had back when I was 12 years old. And we were all real happy to see, oh, hey, yeah. And we updated each other, you know, about our families, et cetera, and all was well, and he left. And then I, you know, just thinking back, you know, I was just, you know, it was kind of interesting. I was thinking back, started remembering what was going on in my life while living in that neighborhood. But suffice it to say, something horrible happened to me that year. And had nothing to do with him. He was just in my friend group, you know, but it was horrible. But by the next morning, after seeing this person from the past, it was like a dark cloud had engulfed me. And I felt mentally and emotionally paralyzed for a couple of days. Wasn't functioning well at all. It's like I was depressed. I kind of depressed, and I kept thinking, what in the world? But, you know, it caused me to remember these things. And this is how the devil can paralyze us and take us out of the game at will, you know, at least temporarily. And he has a fortress in our heart filled with things like this. You know, he can push this or that button, or, you know, have someone say something or do something, or just bring up a memory, you know, to trigger like a fresh wave of fear or guilt or shame, whatever, come over you. But the Lord, while I was praying about, Lord, show me what I need to see about this, he just brought that memory up, you know. He brought that, what happened to me. Excuse me, let me take another drink. He showed me, he reminded me what happened to me 7 or 8 years ago and how this all relates. So, but I took that particular memory before him and asked him to shine light on it and show me what I needed to know. And it turns out I had swept this under the carpet and never, just how far I'd swept it under. When the time this happened when I was 12, and it totally changed directions in my life. But do you know, I never told a living soul about it. It never came out of my mouth, not even a best friend, nothing, until I was 30 something years old. And I turned, when I first mentioned it to somebody, but turns out I swept this under the carpet and never asked God to heal me of things that had happened during this time period. And there was, I found out, unforgiveness in my heart, There was like shame over what had happened, that I'd kept lots of things bottled up, you know, et cetera. But I hope that helps. But only God can tear down and destroy the fortress of the enemy within our heart. Okay, our part is to willingly bring everything before Him. You know, we must hammer our prayers into fine powder. You know, don't leave anything out. Don't try to hide or dress up or disguise your pain or agony or if it's sin. You know, don't be vague. You know, when repenting. You know, I've looking back, I see I do that a lot. I've caught myself, you know, being, oh God, forgive me for all my sins. Just in a nutshell, I don't really specify what they are, you know, like forgive me for my sinful thoughts and actions this afternoon or whatever. He wants us to talk it over with Him. What were they? Call it what it is and discuss everything with your Father. Ask Him to show you what you need to see. You know, ask Him to show you what you need to pray. Lord God, show me what I need to see about this. Lord, how do I pray about this? I was shown to plead the blood of Jesus over some of these things. And I ask the grace of God be extended. Ask Him for that and applied to you to be set free of the chains of bondage in your life, because that kind of stuff's a bondage, you know. Saints, the Lord's impressed the urgency of this message to His people, you know, because as each enters into communion with Him, we're then connected, becoming one in the Spirit with Him and each other. And this is how the body of Christ will do even greater works than Jesus, and be used as instruments of His righteousness, you know, to be sent forth to enter those mighty fortresses of the enemy and set captives free. Little did I know those fortresses are built up in everyone's heart, you know. But with that said, I believe it helpful to be reminded of why the sense of urgency and how God wants to use His people in the days just ahead of us. So I want to share a vision I was given it was the end of May of this year, and it's called on the blog, Signs and Wonders Will Follow. During that morning, I began feeling an intense sorrow and heaviness come over me. And I asked the Lord what was happening. Where was this coming from? And after some time in prayer, it was impressed upon me, I was being shown the heart of God. But the reason for the sorrow wasn't given until later that evening. And I prayed quietly in the Spirit for the remainder of the day, but by evening, it had progressed to a deep groaning. And soon after, you know, I knelt down by the side of my bed, and I started seeing images, you know, flood through my mind. And It was a crescendo of events. They came rushing in, and from what seemed like a bird's eye view, I saw floods coming in. I saw fire spreading out. I saw areas that were barren and drought conditions. I saw various conflicts and wars breaking out. You know, it was a complete state of chaos all over the earth. Then everything zoomed in close, and I could sense the heart of the people, and there was vast confusion and fear, suffering, you know, permeated the atmosphere, and I saw evil mushrooming to the point where anything good, okay, anything lovely and of God became a hated target. And what came next explained the anguish I've been feeling all day. I saw targeted actual destruction of what God had created to bless us, to bless mankind, like marriage, children, which children are our heritage, and the church itself, and from the persecution and martyrdom of His people to butchering our seed, you know, our heritage in the womb. But blood was being spilled all over the earth. And at that moment, I cried out, oh, God, please help us. Come soon, Lord Jesus. And I then heard the Holy Spirit say, the whole earth is groaning in travail, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. And I felt very remorseful and began to repent, not only for me, but for the entire church. And then I turned out the lights and I went to lay down, and I was still groaning in my spirit over all the pain and suffering. And I started to fall asleep while praying. And suddenly in the spirit, I saw myself rise from the bed and begin walking. And I was walking toward a group of people huddled together in the back corner of a room. And it was the cries I'd heard that actually drew me in their direction. And the room was dimly lit, but there were what appeared to be about six or more crouched down on the floor. And they were just trembling in fear. They were desperately trying to hold on to each other. And as I walked toward the group, I knew I was being watched. Although my focus, it remained straight ahead on the group, I was aware in the spirit of many eyes watching to see what would be done. And it was also impressed upon me, if I continued walking in that direction, there would be consequences, but I continued walking. And the love of God was flowing through me so strongly at that point, nothing could stop me. And as I reached the group, I extended my hand toward them, and instantly I knew whatever their individual needs were, God met them. Then I heard the Lord say, "When my people are moved with compassion, signs and wonders will follow." Now, that was the end of that vision, but I'm going to say it again. It's just huge. When my people are moved with compassion, signs and wonders will follow. And the Lord shown several things, saints. The blood of the innocent is crying out from the ground to him. And this is moving the heart of God. And the word shows from Genesis to Revelation that God will not hold his peace when this happens. The groaning is growing louder and louder. You know, the saints pressing into God, becoming intimate with him, are now beginning to feel his very heart and cry out in our prayers and our groaning, our intercession. And saints, there's coming a time when we'll begin to see horrors beyond our comprehension. And at this time, we as the body of Christ will be moved and motivated by, you know, that same compassion that moved Jesus. When Jesus was moved with compassion, you can see it all the way through the New Testament. I don't have time to quote the individual scriptures, but it says, when Jesus was moved with compassion, miracles always followed. As with Jesus, when the disciples spoke and did as led by the Holy Spirit, the Lord confirmed their word with signs and wonders. Even entire towns were converted, Acts 9, 33 and 35. The Lord has prepared a people, a group he calls his hidden ones. And as the righteous judge moves throughout the land, these being moved with compassion will go forth. And the love of God will flow through them so powerfully, nothing will be able to stop them. They'll fear not as they open their mouth and proclaim this truth. For as they extend their hands toward the people, he will confirm their word with signs and wonders. That's what's ahead of us, saints. And I would like to quickly share one last message before I summarize, because all this is tied together. 2 weeks ago, it was on September 23rd, God woke me up at 3:30 in the morning saying, "Get up." And I'd had a couple sleepless nights in a row, so when I heard "get up," I rolled over and I started to go back to sleep. And as soon as I began losing consciousness, the Lord said, "Get up. This will go much quicker than you think." That got my attention. So I got up. I rose up quickly to a sitting position right on the edge of my bed, and I asked, What's going to go much quicker than I think? but he only said it again. And a great, I can tell you, it's like a download in the spirit, a great sense of urgency came upon me, so that I rose up, I began scurrying around to prepare for the day, you know, for whatever it was that was going to go much quicker than I thought. And at first, I thought it had to do with the birth of my granddaughter, because I just prayed the night before that her birth would be perfectly timed. And I truly was expecting a call to head to the hospital at any moment. So, you know, I thought, I better hurry up. I might get the call any minute. But before I jumped into action, you know, I checked to make sure it was okay to sit down, begin the day with prayer and study, you know, as I do. And I received yes. And so I began. And it was soon made crystal clear that it was not just a personal word to me, but to the entire body of Christ. Okay. And I'm going to say it again. This will go. Get up. This will go much quicker than you think. And excuse me, I'm really having trouble here with my voice. An email received the night before was brought to my attention as I was sitting there praying and studying. And I read it, and it was from a sister in the Lord going through a tough time. Started bringing everything into focus. And she asked if I'd felt a shift in the spirit. She said, "Diana, have you felt a shift in the spirit? Like maybe I feel like everything's slowed down, or everything's become more quiet than normal." So she said that. And the Lord reminded me also of recent conversations and prayers with people going through horrible trials, and how they're barely holding on, as I said before. And just like, you know, many of you listening are down in that valley right now, crying out to the Lord. And I mean, when we get like that, sometimes we're not even able to pray. All we can do is groan before Him. And I've been there a lot this past year as well. But God showed me He's not only speaking of the world events, which do sometimes seem to get quiet or be on hold, but He's speaking to our individual circumstances here. So we're told the Lord we seek will suddenly come to His temple in Malachi 3:1. And this word is not only a warning to stay awake and ready, but it's to encourage us, you know, in the midst of our trials and afflictions, and that God will bring justice for His elect who cry to Him day and night and will not delay in Luke 18:17. And God wants us to remember He is a God of suddenly. So the Lord told me the Holy Spirit would minister this, you know, to each of us to speak directly to our individual situations. Like I said, I've been filled with a great sense of urgency since that, really bigger than ever, to be ready for whatever may come. But I'm also encouraged by an unexpected end to some deep, long-term personal trials. So I hope that encourages you with some of the things you're going through, because God's saying to us, get up. This will go much quicker than you think. Now, I know a lot's been covered, so I'd like to give just a real short summation of what I feel God is saying. First of all, the reason we feel such intense pressure mounting all around us and in our personal lives is because it is mounting. It is encircling us. The Lord's saying to His people, heads up. As I have warned you, all hell is coming against you. It is even now at the door. God's saying a great shaking is coming, and that not one of us will escape the shaking. He's saying when the ground begins to shake beneath our feet, many of those who say they're His will not remain. We're told it's time to press in as never before. Because the prince of this world is coming, this time for the set-apart ones, those in preparation, you know, the bride, to be the bride of Christ. The bride's struggle will not be against the lower ranked devils, but against the princes and rulers of the darkness, listed like in Ephesians 6:12. This has already begun because we've been told the enemy has surrounded the camps of my people. The arrows are being fired upon us now. You know, we're told that slander, we're warned in advance, slander has always been a favorite weapon of the devil. So don't be surprised when it hits your house and comes from someone in your close circle. He always attempts to get someone closest to you. And if the people around you, whether it be family, friends, associates, if the people around you are not completely sold out to God, they can be used by the enemy. Be aware of that. So don't be surprised. It'll come in as a consuming fire. But God says, let the fire consume you. Just remember that. We've been reminded of the main tools the saints of God have always used when surrounded by the enemy. That of praise, like I began praising him in song. The tool of prayer and fasting. There's nothing more powerful than these tools. And a key question has been asked tonight. Can you say, he has nothing in me? Just as our bridegroom, so must the bride be able to say that about the devil. He has nothing in me. The Lord's calling is people to come to the garden, that secret place of intimacy. And we have a short window of time, brethren, to take shelter in the Most High. God's revealed the hiding place of the devil. This dark, hidden place is used to keep us from our deepest desire. The Lord wants us to understand our deepest desire for intimacy with him is also his desire. To fully know him and to be known by him, we must become one with him. And oneness is obtained through open communication with nothing standing between. And it's only when we can appear naked and unashamed before our God that we're finally able to say, as Jesus did, he has nothing in me. And once the hiding place of the devil is destroyed, our prayers will no longer be hindered. We'll be able to soar, you know, on the wings of the eagle as high as the Spirit desires to take us. And I pray we allow God entrance to our hearts, that we allow him to shine his light into that secret hidden place that the devil has set up. And that we allow him to obliterate and take those walls down. And we can then say, he has nothing in me. It will be then that we'll be ready to be used by God in the days ahead. And he assures us at that time, nothing will be able to stop us until his purposes are fulfilled. And so, John, I think that's a good stopping point. So, you know, I'll turn the mic back to you if that's okay.
Yeah, praise God. Once again, the computer disconnected me, so I had to call back in on my cell phone to call into the show. It's like the second time this has happened in the last 6 months. I'm like, this is getting weird. But anyway, powerful, powerful message, Diana. God bless you. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. I knew it would be something that would just be anointed and really be something that folks needed to be able to hear, to be able to relate to the challenges that a lot of us have been going through and the discouragement that comes along with it. And that at the same time, also the opportunity that comes along with that to be able to make some adjustments to the way we look at things and the opportunity that the Lord has laid before us to grow closer to him so that we're not, you know, so we don't find ourselves in a bad place as the days grow darker, which I think most of us are pretty sure is right around the corner. But anyway, God bless you, and thank you so, so much for joining us tonight. What a powerful message. God bless you.
Mm. God bless you too, John. Thank you for having me.
All right. That was our blessing. And we'll see you this Friday night, 8 p.m. on the prayer vigil, Lord willing. God bless you all. Take care. Good morning. Thank you, Diane.
I shall lift my obedient children to the clouds, for they shall see my glory.